what I have also learned is I don't have to have it all together. I have to have enough together that I can feel confident that, number one, nobody's going to know, and number two, I can pull it together. So what's the worst thing that could happen? Let's just go with it. Really, if you can look at everything and what's the worst thing that could happen, okay, I could live with that. You can't even imagine what the best thing that could happen is.
Running a creative retail business really shouldn't be so hard. I'm Wendy Batten, and this is the Creative Shop Talk podcast.
Hey there, retailers. It's Wendy Batten here with another episode of the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I'm so excited that you're here today with us. I am also excited to tell you that we have another creative shop owner to introduce you to. And Suzanne from the Crazy Eight Barn is my guest today. And we are going to be sharing a few really encouraging and inspiring stories with you and things that I think will help you think about things that maybe you can stop doing, sort of following on our previous podcast, but, you know, really looking hard at our businesses and thinking of how we can do things differently. So Suzanne is in my Level Up Mastermind group and my inner circle, and she's an inner circle member. And it's been such a pleasure to watch her really dig deep in her business. And through the pandemic and through the closures, you know, she had to completely close down her shop for a while. And, you know, obviously, like a lot of us, I had to reevaluate things in our business. And it was actually, dare I say, a good thing that came out of all of this, because it really forced her to look at what she was doing. And we get complacent in our revenue streams. We get complacent in what we're doing. And Suzanne is going to share with you today how, by cutting back a major revenue stream in her business, I mean, it was, you know, a huge revenue stream, and, you know, the fear that that causes, as you can imagine, actually led to increased profits in her business. So stepping into that fear, and now it seems almost like a no-brainer when we, you know, she's going to share the details and what she did, but it's so interesting to see, like, you know, knowing how scared she was to cut back. And I know, you know, if you're thinking of some revenue streams maybe that you're doing, and, you know, really looking at the profitability of some of those revenue streams. So she cut back a major revenue stream and was able to take more time off, opened up possibilities for other revenue streams that lit her up a little bit more. She actually did not enjoy that revenue stream. And she's taking a regular paycheck now for the first time in 8 years. Knowing your numbers, looking at your profits, understanding what's important to you. Those are all things that we're going to be talking about today with Suzanne Wilkins from the Crazy Eight Barn. So I'm really excited to introduce you to her, and she's going to be inspiring you, I hope, to take a really good look at what you're doing in your revenue streams and understanding, you know, how we can stop doing things and thrive, not just survive. So listen up and let's get going. You're going to love our conversation with Suzanne. Welcome, Suzanne Wilkins. I'm so excited you're here. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing good. I'm so glad that you're here. I like to start my podcast off asking retailers, what is something that maybe somebody doesn't know about you?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm an airplane pilot. I guess that's something.
You're what?
I'm an airplane pilot. So that's probably something that people don't know about me.
That's, I did not know about that. That is so cool. That is so cool. I had no idea. So I'll tell you something about me that a lot of people don't know. I worked for the airlines for 22 years.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
So isn't that funny? Like you were a pilot and I...
I'm not an airline pilot.
An airplane pilot.
Plane pilot.
That's still super cool. So it's a long ways for there. So Suzanne, can you share with us a little bit about your business, about your journey, how you ended up becoming a retailer, about your, you know, where you're located, and just give us a little bit of a background on your business.
Okay. So I was a landscaper, and someone gave me a historic octagon barn. We are located on the north shore of Lake Erie in the province of Ontario in Canada. So just about 60 miles north of Ohio is about our spot. And what happened was this barn was in really bad shape. It was a landmark locally for years since I was a kid. It was really important to me. Where's that barn type of thing? It was in the paper that they needed somebody to find it, to take it down. So I said, oh, okay, that should be me. And I had no experience at that at all. So we took down the barn that summer. We put it in a transport trailer and kept it there. That was 2003 until 2011. We bought this little tiny lot that used to be the general store in a village of maybe 50 people on Highway 3 that runs from sort of Detroit to Niagara Falls. That's the old road there. And we rebuilt it, and it was going to be our landscaping offices because we have about an acre of gardens around us here on the lot. But I always say the barn didn't want to be that. So the barn wanted to be something else. And so after the first year, we sold the landscaping company, and now we're like a rural lifestyle type shop. And up until this crazy time, we did have a cafe. But, you know, we'll maybe get into that. But that's how we ended up here, is just that flow that happens along the way.
So that's a long ways from a landscaping office. I mean, you have a large, how many square feet do you have inside your retail business?
We're probably about 1600 on both floors.
Yeah. It's beautiful too. So what year did you open as a retail? Do you want to share with that?
2013.
Right. So you've had your business for 7 years. So that's great. Almost eight, going into your eighth, right? I think we're going into your eighth. So it's been really, so I didn't realize that it was going to be your landscape office at one point in time. I knew you reconstructed it. So see, I learned all kinds of new things. So Suzanne is a member of my inner circle, my Level Up Inner Circle mastermind group. So we've known each other for about a year. I've been watching, I think you joined us last January. And I've been watching you grow and thrive and work this business, not even knowing we were going to have a pandemic coming in. Can you go back a year and tell us what a year ago, like what was keeping you up at night a year ago, like pre-pandemic?
Pre-pandemic, it was always the cafe, which had grown to be, it was about half of our business. And it was just a lot of work. People loved it. We did a fabulous job at it, but I hated every day of it. So that was probably, it either kept me up at night or I kept a blanket over my head in the morning. So that would really be it, because it was felt like we were doing well because we handled cash all the time, right?
Right.
But so at the end of the year, it was like, how can we not have made any money?
Right. So one of the things that I admire about you is that you have firmly put on your CEO hat. I mean, I've been watching you take steps to, again, this cafe was, you know, part of your business. Everybody loved it. I know this story, but I know everybody loved it. Everybody like just kept coming in. And like you said, the cash was coming in, right? The revenue was there. The revenue's there. And I think this is a common story for a lot of retailers. You know, we're busy. There's there's cash coming in. There's movement. And I know what happened when the pandemic hit. I know we've had conversations about this. Can you share a little bit about, first of all, I know you're in a touristy area, so that was a bit of a fear. What happened when the pandemic hit? How has your business been affected when the pandemic hit? You want to walk through your process on how you change things up. One of the things I want to share today with everybody is that Suzanne has a things we're not doing anymore list and how we got to that. It's just, I love it so much. I love when you, every time you say that, I love it. It makes me happy because things we're not doing anymore. How did that come to be? And what are the sort of the steps that you took to the things you're not doing anymore and how that has changed your business?
Well, I guess it was probably about mid-March when it sort of got to Ontario that it was looking, something's happening here. And I don't know why we felt like we were blown out of the water, because we had spent the winter, I had painted and redone all the counters, we had done new tables, we'd done new floor, we built new tables for serving outside. So I had come to the realization that this cafe was here, suck it up, figure out how to make more money out of it, was sort of where I was. I hired staff to come in, because normally we open for the season April 1st. I usually just work, and I said, this year I'm going to hire staff to come in and we're going to do bang up April 1st. We're in pretty good shape in the middle of March, and Sid, she's my employee, and she said to me, you know, I'm just thinking maybe I won't come in next week. And I said, I think that's maybe a good idea. We'll just like ride this out for the next couple of weeks and we'll get back at it. And yeah, that sounds good because everything was great. And then I went, oh, the next few days, it all of a sudden looked like we wouldn't be reopening April 1st. I did have a skeleton on my website. I think I had paid for it like the previous February, like a year and a bit ago, and spent that whole year last year washing dishes instead of putting things on my website. So within 2 weeks, I got a whole bunch of things on my website as far as product. And instead of opening the doors on April 1st, we launched our online website. And honestly, that kept us in business in April and May. So that was great. Puzzles are my friend. Anyway, I still thought like there's no way that this will go beyond June the 1st. So we had a Zoom call the first part of May with my cafe staff, and we were talking about how we're going to do this, and you know, da 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 da. And we do a lot of frozen pies and nut soups and that kind of thing for people to buy. And we thought, well, in talking to them this Friday, I really wasn't planning on getting it going, but everybody sort of seemed like, hey, why don't we come in next Tuesday? We'll do everything. We'll fill all the freezers. And then when we start June the 1st is what it looks like, we'll be ready to go. I went, okay, well, everybody's keen. Let's do that. That sounds reasonable. We'll be in great shape and we'll make that money then, June 1st. And so I went around and I said, okay, I'll just make sure that the food service people are still delivering. I don't even know what's happening. I went around, did my inventory, and went to call the food service people back to put the order in. And I just started crying uncontrollably in my office by myself. And I went, okay, what is wrong? Because I wasn't feeling what is wrong. And I just said to myself out loud, if I don't get out of this now, I will never get out of this. And I went, okay, if that's the first thing that I can say, then this is really, something's wrong here. So I called the food service people back and said, hey, I'm not making an order. And I sat on it for a day before I called my staff back. And I went, you know what, I just feel good. I called them back. They, of course, were shocked. They couldn't believe that anything like this could happen. And they were fabulous. Like it wasn't like I could say, we need to do more work or you need to do this. I couldn't have asked for anything more from them. They were fabulous. Like we were great at what we did. We really were. But I didn't like it. So we stopped. And as we had grown this business all this time, you know, you just had this, you just had that. And it was always pretty well 50-50 on the retail and on the income level of
revenue, right? Yeah,
exactly. But when it came down to it, you know, like half of that revenue was in staff, you know, then another 30% was food. And then, you know, there was like this much. And that's when we were running at full tilt. So right now we aren't running at full tilt. My revenue is like very sad compared to pre-COVID, but I have paid off a line of credit that I hadn't been able to touch in 7 years and sometimes I wasn't able to pay the interest out of the business. So I've paid it off. I have all kinds of money. I don't even have a bill to pay. I have no bills to pay.
I think it's
not a bill here to pay.
It's such a magical thing what you're talking about.
It's shocking. People come in. We wouldn't have survived. We would not have survived because of the way restaurants still are in this area. It's only 50% capacity and, you know, and nobody's going out really. They just aren't here. So we wouldn't have survived it anyway. It would have been a horrible death. You know, it would have been awful. Yeah. I would have been resenting my staff. It would have just been terrible. So people come in now, the occasional people come in that don't know, and that's fine because and then people come in that don't know, but have been here, and they're very disappointed. And I like, you know, that's where I got from the things we don't do anymore. And I'm trying to change that list up to things that we do now.
Right. So this is what we're doing now. So yeah, I just want to pull out a couple of things that I want people listening to really think about, because we do a lot of things. First of all, they just grow out of habit. And I think your cafe is one of those things. And I know you and I had that conversation after you had your crying, you just said like, holy moly, like, and that decision wasn't just made emotionally because it was draining you energetically, I think, but it was also, I think you were looking at your numbers, and we had had the conversation about the numbers. So we need to really look at what we're doing and the profit that that particular revenue stream brings, whether it be workshops, whether it be cafe, whether it be selling XYZ, you know, whatever you're selling. It doesn't matter how much money you're making coming in. And I know that's a fear for us, right? Ooh, if I drop that, if I drop this revenue, that number is going to, you know, go away. So Suzanne has a much lower revenue number. Her sales number overall right now is lower, which we're like, ooh, we're always striving to get higher numbers, right? But her profit is higher. And like she just said, she's been able to pay off her expenses are so much lower. The cafe was bringing in money, but it was probably, you know, when we looked at the numbers, it was probably way more. And side note, a lot of, you know, I used to own a cafe, so I know the expenses are crazy, but the, you know, and that goes with, I've seen people do that with workshops, all different types of revenue streams. We get in the habit of doing something and we're bringing in this revenue, and then we don't realize that the expenses of it are eating up all that, you know, it's and energy and time suck and bandwidth, right? And all the things. So it's just interesting. She's making more profit at the end of the day. Her bills are all paid. I know you're paying down your line of credit. I know that, and I hope it's okay to share this, but I know like you are taking a bigger paycheck personally than you did over the last 8 years, which is crazy. It's pandemic times. Mm-hmm. And I know you've also changed your hours, right? So you are one of the things we're doing differently. What are we saying now? We're doing things differently now. What we're doing now is we're not open Sundays. You were always open Sundays. I know that's really been a big shift and a mind thing for you too, right? Like, I'm supposed to be open Sundays, right? I should be open Sundays, right? But you're doing it, and she's off Sundays and hanging out with her grandkids and moving into a new house. And it's just been amazing watching you do this, like things you're not doing anymore, or things you're doing differently. Now it's just so, you know, and it's because you're looking at your numbers and you're listening to yourself, right?
No, absolutely. I would never have had the nerve to say no, because I knew saying no really wasn't, it wasn't just about me not wanting to do that, because right, there are things you have to do, right?
Yeah. Yes. We can't just do all. Yeah.
Or you could do better. And I just could not see how we could do better. We worked full tilt all the time, and they're just, you know, we were already tight on everything. So there really wasn't a lot of, oh, gee, we could quit doing this and we'd still have a lot more money. There wasn't any of that. And that was because of knowing it. And this is the first two times in 8 years that I have ever taken a paycheck out of here. So July and August, I got a paycheck, and I'm happy with it. I've still got that money in the bank too.
Hey, listen, people, listen, everybody listening needs to listen to this. This isn't, again, magical moments for me. Just watching this journey, it really, I've just so enjoyed watching you do this and making these decisions. I'm going to cry. I don't know why. I just feel like you deserve to pay. I couldn't believe that you weren't paying yourself. And I hear it all the time. I shouldn't say I couldn't believe it. I hear it all the time from retailers, not prioritizing this. You were working so hard in a business you love. I know you love what you do. You love where you are. You love your customers. And closing the cafe was hard. I know that because of the, again, the pressure from everybody's going to be disappointed if I, you know, if we stop doing this. But pandemic has been really good for opportunities for making shifts and changes and really digging down in our numbers. And I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you and how you've made those decisions. And I can't tell you how happy I am that you're paying yourself a paycheck. So again, she just said she hasn't paid herself in almost eight years, except July and August this year. So we're recording this in September. So, you know, this is the new business model, right? This is the new business model. There's paychecks coming out. There's lines of credit. There's profit. you know, we're doing smart things. And it's just wonderful to watch you do that. Also, this also, when you stop doing things, and it's funny, we had a conversation before we went live about looking at all the puzzle pieces of our business and then just picking up the ones that we like. And you've set down some things, the cafe, and you've picked up some things. And this also opens opportunity for new things going forward, right? So this gives you, it kind of gives you the bandwidth, so you're not wrapped up. The hustle's not, like, be hustling more is not working, wasn't working in the cafe. So we've set the cafe down, we've put that aside, we're making more profits, you're making a paycheck, you're enjoying your business a little bit more, you've got your website up and going. Suzanne also does amazing Facebook Lives. That's how she keeps her website, you know, that's how she kept her website going. You've got to watch her, she's amazing. We'll put the links for her her Facebook and websites on here for you after. But you're also doing some new things. So what's next? What's something else that you're maybe choosing to do moving forward?
Well, one of the things we did last month is we launched the introduction to a subscription box. You helped me get a blockage out of my way about how to do a subscription box. So we just did a limited edition box. And I just bought in enough things to do 24, and we sold them all. People loved it. I'm still getting rave reviews. People are like, they're crazy, right? They're posting their boxes on their pages. You know, you're thinking, who does this?
People know, like, and trust you. This is what this is.
Yeah, you know, and
people are crazy in love with you is what's happening. They're, you know,
it was interesting because people would pay $50 for a box that they knew they had no idea. So I think we're going to, hopefully, our plan is to, in November, launch an annual box for next year that people can buy, hopefully through the Christmas season. It's based on gardening and seasons and that kind of thing. So that was a good thing to just launch it and say, okay, well, we can sell 24, maybe we can sell 48, who knows? But we now know that we could do it and do it well. And I guess that's one of the lessons too out of all of this is just do it. Just try to get out of your own way. We talk about that all the time and just figure it out. And what happened to me with that was I had figured it all out. I had bought all the product in and I just was like afraid to launch it. And I had it sitting on my desk, which is sort of like there's a public area there. And it was a little card that was on top because I put a box together to make sure that everything fit in it. And a lady picked it up, and it was actually the day that I had put in my planner that I was going to launch it that day. And I was like, oh, that's probably not going to happen, right? And she said, how do I get one of these? And it's like a little recipe card that I printed out like it's really nothing, right? And I said, well, it's part of this box and it's information. And this like 2-cent recipe card is in the $50 box. And she was like, great, I'll take one. I'm like, okay, it's launched. We sold it and it was great. It was great.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we're going to do now is then take that first step. We didn't have to have a commitment of what we were going to do, but hey, that was okay. And if it's 24 again, great, but we're going to aim for 48. And the other thing we're doing right now is we're in the middle of, I didn't even know the word launch before, but now I have launched a boot camp, Designing Your Garden Boot Camp. I'm a landscaper. I'm a landscape designer. I've taught that lot in like community college night courses and at the regular community college. We have a horticultural college right beside us, so right near us. So we've taught there as well. So I'm taking all of that information that I've had over the years and now said, okay, let's do it online. So I've got people signing up. I need to get the course together now, but so that is the lesson. Do it. Don't get fancy. You asked me one time a little bit ago on something we were on. I can't remember how you phrased it. It was something about, I don't know if it didn't make money or why it was, whatever it was. And I thought, you know what things sometimes don't make money for me is I think I have to have everything purchased. So I have a store. I don't think I'm unique in this. I have a storeroom full of things that I purchased for projects or activities that is sitting there.
Yep.
So that's what I have also learned is I don't have to have it all together. I have to have enough together that I can feel confident that, you know, number one, nobody's going to know. And number two, I can pull it together. So I think that's the thing too, is don't make those expensive purchases because I don't have that income yeah. coming through the door, right? So yeah. that's a different way of looking at things too, is what can you do with what you have?
Well, and done is better than perfect. We say that all the time. Exactly. Like, just get it out, because you can refine your boxes. You can refine this course. You can make it better next time if it doesn't feel good this time. We learn from trying things, right? We learn from, you know, so you have come full circle. And I also want to mention, like, a lot of the things that you sell in your store are garden related, and, you know, and, you know, they just, it all flows. This all makes so much sense. You know, your mystery box. So I have to go back to that where you mentioned, like, I can't believe people bought, like, they don't know what's in it. Like, people love that. They love subscription boxes, or they, like, it's like Christmas every, you know, but it's because they trust you and they know that you have beautiful products, and they know, you know, and they know they trust you. They just trust you. They're not going to buy a box from somebody they don't trust. So wear that badge of honor and sell your 48 next time. Right. And again, like, limit your numbers and just do it and just make it better. Like, not better, but refine. We refine our processes. We refine things. You know, the same as your launch. Again, you're like, I didn't even know what a launch was, but she had an idea for, you know, to go back to your roots, things that light you up and make you happy. Mm-hmm. We've had these conversations in the mastermind group, you know, what makes you happy and can make you money and sell things in your store. So this course that you're doing is going to be, it's amazing. I love, you know, the boot camp that you're doing. It's how to design your garden, like, you know, which is something, it's for beginners. It's not for pros, right? It's made for people like me who wish we could figure out how to do it. And, you know, then we're going to be buying, you know, the books and the garden things from you. And so you light up every time you talk about this boot camp. I don't know if you know that. I know it's been stressful for you to launch it and do a landing page and all the things, right? But it's out in the world now, and it's selling, and people, and you know, whether you have one or 21 people or 51 or 100, you know, 101 people join you, the next time it'll just be a little bit different, a little bit better, and you'll just love it. So I love how you've been expanding, and this is really great lessons for so many people to just follow your joy. Again, your joy is, you know, we have to do things we don't like in our business as well too, but setting things down that aren't profitable and picking up things that can be profitable and light us up, it's magical what's happening. It really is. I keep using the word magical like it's like we're some kind of witches or something. But, you know, it is really crazy when you put your CEO hat on. I keep saying you've really been looking and pulling your business apart and seeing what's working and what's not. And it's working. That's working for you.
Well, I think the other part is to try to take those things that, in this case, and I just came to this realization too. We've always paid a gardener. We've had a garden student, and this year I didn't. And it's really not up to the level that I would like, but it's the way it is. That's okay. People will accept that there's a few weeds this year because we don't have a student. And then I thought, you know what? We always hired a baker and figured out how to make money with that baker. So next year, over the winter, I'm going to be hiring a gardener. That they are not going to get sucked in here. They're going to be the gardener, and we're going to be doing, whether it's bouquets or however that person is going to be, they've got to figure out, and me too, you know, how we're going to make, whether it's $20,000 out of this garden. We can figure it out, and I do know a little bit about baking now. I can't bake a butter tart.
But it is, you're reverse engineering. You're hiring somebody and you're going to get an ROI on that. That's like, and again, we talk about that inside our Level Up Mastermind group. Whatever we invest in needs to make us money back, right? So if we're going to invest in a gardener, or we're going to invest in our time, or we're going to invest in whatever, what's the ROI on that? So I love that you're doing that. So even if it's hiring housekeeper, right? Like, if we hire somebody to clean our house, while that person's cleaning our house, we should be making money doing something else, right? Like, or, you know, that's how we do that, right? So I love that you're going to use that garden, because your garden's really beautiful there, and it speaks to your garden design. I mean, I'd be using that as, I just love how you're thinking, and now you're thinking next year already, right? Like, you've already, your brain has gone there, because you see what happens when we apply, you know, data and heart and, you know, strategy. And, you know, it's been great. I just love too, though. I mean, really, when it boils right down to it, you're not working Sundays anymore. I see the joy that you fill those Sundays with, and how you're not so shoulders up, like, stressed out as much, yet you're taking a paycheck and you're making money and your bills are all paid. Isn't it a wonderful feeling? but you've been working hard on that. So is there any, before we go, I know you're really busy and I appreciate your time so much. Is there any advice that you have for retailers, how they can set themselves up? Like, what's a piece of advice you might have, or a mantra or a saying or something that might, that you like, or you can give to the retailers that are listening?
Well, actually, I didn't know this was my mantra until somebody, but I guess that is it. A friend of mine who was in business, and she was talking to me one time, and I've known her for a long time, and I'm like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And really, that is it. I mean, if it's somebody could cut off their arm doing this, then let's not do that, right? You know, if it's that, my ego might be a little bit hurt, let's just go with it. And usually it's nothing of those things. So really, if you can look at everything and what's the worst thing that could happen, okay, I could live with that. You can't even imagine what the best thing that could happen is.
That is perfect. That is such incredible advice, because it is true. If we put ourselves in the worst thing and then we push through that fear, the reward on the other side is amazing. And I mean, even back to you closing the cafe, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, and it was like, you're right, the best things happened instead, right? And yes, a dozen people were kind of sad, like, you know, so it's, you know, but the worst thing. So that's such great advice. Thank you for sharing that. So we are going to be sharing, we'll share on the post here in the podcast notes, all of Suzanne's contact information on how you can follow her, how you can sign up for her bootcamp or her cool mystery boxes, because those are cool as well too. We'll share all her information here for you, and I hope you'll go follow her along. She is a joy to watch on Facebook Lives. I will tell you that right now. You can tell by her personality that she's fun, and obviously this is why people trust you, and you know, your store is so successful, and I'm so happy for you. So thank you, my friend, for being here. I love having you inside our mastermind group. It is I just love watching you grow and thrive. So I appreciate your time. I know you're busy, and we'll talk soon. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Wendy. Yes, I have done the work, but you have been an inspiration and a big help. So this probably wouldn't have happened without your guidance and your help and your time. And it's been very valuable to me. Thank you.
My pleasure. I love you, my friend. So I appreciate you being here. So thank you. You would make me cry. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, thanks for joining me today. I know how precious your time is, and I'm so appreciate you taking time out of your crazy day to be here with us. All the links for today's show can be found at wendybatten.com/podcast. We'd also like to invite you to come over and continue the conversation over on my free Facebook group. It's called Rockstar Creatives. I'm going to be popping in there live every week to continue the conversation, talk a little bit about what we spoke about today. And I'd love for you to join us over there, Rockstar Creatives on Facebook. I'd also love to ask, if it's not too much trouble, if you could leave me a review and let me know what you think of the podcast. If you're loving the show, be sure that you're subscribing to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. I hate for you to miss one. It's been such a pleasure to be here with you today. I'll see you next week here on the Creative Shop Talk podcast.